And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our God who transforms. I heard a story this week in the podcast Strange New World, which is hosted by Matthew Meyer Bolton, of the town of Wunsiedel in Germany. This is a small town that where Rudolf Hess, one a key Nazi leader at the time, was once buried. And so every year there's a group of neo-Nazis that descend upon this town and participate in a march in honor of him. Now, the town usually tries to figure out how to keep their distance. They don't really want to have much to do with this march or with what they stand for. But in 2014, they took on a different tactic. They tried something else, and they welcomed the neo-Nazis. At the place where their march started, they wrote a start line. And at the place where their march ended, they wrote a finish line. And then on that day, they hosted a walk to raise money for an organization called Exit Deutschland, which helps people escape from extremist groups like the neo-Nazi groups that came to their town each year for this march. So when the neo-Nazis came upon the town, the town gathered in the streets and cheered them on as they marched from that start line to that finish line, because with every step that they took, they raised money for Exit Deutschland. This town took something that displayed the hatred which we as humans can hold, and they transformed it into something that promoted love and forgiveness for people who are escaping groups just like theirs. I love this story because it teaches us the power of using something that is meant to destroy and transforming it into something that is used for love. This is what God does in both of our readings that we read for today. This is what God does with the bronze serpent in Numbers. It's what God does with the cross. So let's first look at our Numbers story. The Israelites are in the wilderness, as we know. They're receiving the manna, enough for each day. And it's getting tiresome, so they begin to grumble about it. And then there appear these poisonous snakes. The snakes help them realize the error of their ways in complaining to God about the state of their condition, even though God had rescued them from slavery. And so God, in hearing their repentance and their complaints, tells Moses to make an image of one of these serpents in bronze so that when someone is bitten, they may look at the bronze serpent and be healed. God uses the very thing that is harming and poisoning the people to heal them. In our gospel this week, from the Gospel of John, we know that Jesus is talking to Nicodemus in the middle of the night. Nicodemus is a scholarly Jewish person. He knows the stories, and so he's asking Jesus to help him make sense of what it is that Jesus is teaching. And this is where Jesus teaches about John 3. He says the words from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. The word "so" in the beginning of this phrase, "for God so loved the world," we often take to mean as a word that is, this is how much God loved the world. God loved the world so much that God did this. When in actuality, the Greek word that is translated as "so" is a word, "houtos" is the Greek word. And "houtos" means "in this way." So instead of saying, Jesus isn't saying, this is how much God loved the world. And instead, Jesus is saying, God loves the world in this way. This is how God loves the world. I think it's also important for us to note here that the word "world," the Greek word there is "cosmos." And that word, "cosmos," doesn't just mean all of the humans in the world. It doesn't just mean all of the plants and animals and rivers and streams on our planet. It means the entire universe, all of the stars and the planets and the black holes and the moons, everything in the whole universe. So God loves the whole universe in this way. And then Jesus goes on to explain how God took on human form in Jesus and transformed the most violent tool known at that time, used to punish, to control, or to obey, the cross, and transformed that tool into a tool of forgiveness and grace and love. God loves the world. This is how God loves the world. God transforms the most evil, the most violent, and says, even your evil and violence is no match for the power of my love and grace. And I will use what you think can only be used for evil and turn it into a tool for love. As we've been talking about learning to rise this Lenten season, I must confess that I have been thinking about it largely in the sense of walking the journey to learn to rise with Jesus in the resurrection, in learning to overcome death in the resurrection. But what I'm reminded of today in these two stories from our scriptures and in the story from Germany is that learning to rise is also about the cross. It's about learning how to rise up on the cross and to bring all of the parts of ourselves as individuals and as a community and as a whole cosmos, to how to bring that all to the light, to raise it up so that it can be seen clearly for what it is. And how God, when we are able to do that, and when God works with us to do that, God, and when we can see clearly what things are really, really are, and how they are impacting us as a community and impacting the cosmos, when we can bring that to the surface, God can use even the worst things and creatively turn them into agents of healing for the whole world. Learning to rise is about learning to rise with the cross, just as much as it is about learning to rise with the resurrection. When we look at the cross in our worship space, or if you wear a cross around your neck, or maybe you've tattooed a cross to your body, or you have one decorating your house or hanging on a wall, we can allow this symbol. This symbol serves to remind us not only about the power of God's love and redemption, but it serves to also humble us in remembering how we can participate in violence and destruction ourselves. We're able to be humbled in that way and to be honest in that way because the cross has that dual purpose to also remind us of God's love and grace and what God can do with what is evil and violent and destructive. We embark this very weekend on our 1 year anniversary of COVID at Christ the King. It was 1 year ago on this weekend that we fumbled through online worship via Facebook Live and quickly realized that was not a good route for us to go. And although many of us can now see the light at the end of the tunnel, we give thanks for all the vaccines that have been distributed and are continuing to be distributed. I'm very aware that this time of COVID has been a time of isolation, a time of illness, a time of life-altering loss. You might say that this time has been that the pandemic itself, that the virus is something that is evil. And I wonder, as we reflect upon this last year, as we mark this anniversary today, I wonder if we can see any of the ways in which God is using this terrible and evil time to transform us, our community, our nation, our way of being, our understanding of health. I wonder if God is transforming something in our midst. We may not be able to see it right now. We might not be able to see it for some time. But I wonder how God is transforming us and the whole world through this time that has been so difficult and so challenging and perpetuated so many of the evils in our world. I wonder how God has transformed you. And I wonder where God is continuing to lead us together through God's love and God's grace and God's forgiveness. Amen.
The font evokes the womb of God, the place the soul takes form, in rhythm with the pulsing heart, kept safe and fed and warm. But soon enough the water breaks, and sleeping souls uncurled are pushed with unrelenting will into a waiting world. Unlike the warm, sustaining womb, this hard, demanding earth, it is a terrifying gift, the miracle of birth. But baptized, born of God we are, the new imprint is deep. And children who awake to God will not return to sleep, but seek to grow as all things grow, and trust what grace assumes, that time will manifest the life received within the